How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is your friendly neighborhood talent strategy nerd, Dr. Jim. I am recording live from HR Transform at the Wynn Resort in Las Vegas, and today we are going to be talking about getting your people ready to lead. So joining us to steer the conversation, we have Thomas, the CEO and founder of Clery. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, Jim.
I'm really interested in getting some of your perspective, especially through the lens of a startup founder. So before we get into the main part of the conversation, I think it's important for you to share a little bit about your story and Clery's story, and then we'll build from there.
Absolutely. So I am an Indian American immigrant, grew up in New York, and then came out to California in the Bay Area about a decade or so ago. I've always been interested in technology, and they said, go west, young man. And I've built a career there over several years, working at companies of different sizes, building products that hopefully some of our customers love. And my last experience before starting Clery was leading an internal team at Twitter, where we built products that the employee base was using on a daily basis. And the idea of Clery really formed from there, where we thought, how can we take this idea of creating the centralized employee experience for modern companies where you have a lot of bottom-up power dynamics and flexibility and basically the precursors of what we call the modern workplace. And that's what we brought to market with Clery, which is, think of it as a modern internet, especially with a big lens on culture and internal communications for people leaders and IT leaders that we work with to build the great organizations of tomorrow, which especially with hybrid and remote work will look quite different from the initial stages of evolution that we're in today.
Thanks for sharing that bit of context. I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at you. You and I are from the same village in India, so shout out to Kerala. So one of the things that I'm wondering about is, given your immigrant background and the cultural aspects of that upbringing, how did that shape your philosophy when it came to building teams, building organizations? Were there any relationships there that you think is important to share?
Yeah, I would say that it's, on top of being an immigrant, growing up in New York City, which is a town full of immigrants, over 50% of people are not born in the U.S., you just grew up in a very diverse environment. And I think it's just something that I've imbibed in all stages of my life. And in terms of team building and also just comfort and ease working with people of all types, I think it's just become a part of who I am, really.
One of the interesting things that you mentioned when you're talking about your career journey and also the Clery journey was your transition from working at Twitter into launching a startup. What was the biggest learning that came out of that experience that you think is important for other startup founders to know, especially if they're coming from a resource-rich environment and transitioning into a scrappy startup?
I would give advice probably to first-time founders, because second-time founders know better. But for the first-time founders out there, build a company takes a skill set much greater than what any one person possesses. So you will have weaknesses. And it pretty much gets summed up into the skill sets that you and your co-founders have together. And you think about all the things that you need to have: operational skill set, knowledge about your particular market, go-to-market, product development, engineering. What, if you add up all the things, you will know the things that you are naturally weak at. And that's something that you need to have a plan for, where either someone on the founding team is learning actively, or you'll have a recruiting plan either with employees, co-founders, or advisors. Because whatever skill set that is least expressed on the founding team will show up as the biggest weakness that you need to proactively curb to be successful.
That's a great bit of advice. And when I think about that bit of advice, you already led into some of the implications in terms of how that influences your talent strategy. Mm-hmm. Share with us a little bit more about some of the intentionality once you made that realization, how you constructed the broader team around you, knowing what your strengths are, knowing what the founding team's weaknesses were. How did that drive you forward in terms of your talent strategy?
I was slow. This is a lesson I learned the hard way. I don't know that it was something that we did right off the bat, but we had a classic founding team, product and engineering background. So that's the stuff that you're going to be pretty good at. You need to build and sell, right? When it comes down to it in the beginning. So the selling motion, that's where really it was upon me to figure it out. And we had advisors as well as part-time employees. People were like helping in different ways for several quarters, really, which really helped me set up the basics. But ultimately, I think it's a founder CEO's role to really learn the go-to-market motion. So I really got into learning mode. And it was beyond our first few customers coming out of our own network, learning that go-to-market motion was super important to be successful. And I just put myself in as a student. Like I could be coming right out of college, learning the first things of like sales and marketing, but that's what I had to do to be successful.
Awesome stuff. So thanks for giving us that perspective. Let's dive into the broader conversation that we're here to chat about, and that's getting your people ready to lead. Now, Cleary has been around for almost 7 years, and you've seen and gone through a lot. And when you think about setting your team up or setting the organization up for growth in the right way, what are some of the best practices that you discovered that helped you get the people that you brought in ready to lead?
How do you get your people ready to lead as quickly as possible? That's a tough, multifaceted question. I think, especially in the ground level of a startup, it's really about people leading themselves to some degree. It's about accountability and setting expectations. So I think a lot of things are fuzzy and unclear in terms of work, but that's the role of leadership and management, right? So how can you be very clear as possible, especially when you're working with junior employees, about expectations? And by that, I don't mean, hey, you're ship this feature, work on it, but it's all the micro steps that go into that and being very clear on what you expect from a particular person and what the standards are for the company. So once you start there, you get to a certain stage where you need to have multiple managers. And typically it's like in a software company, you're scaling out the engineering team before you scale out like other functions. And then once you have two or three people in a particular function, it's this different stage where you need to figure out how do you harmonize. So we went through this very difficult phase where we realized our processes were going down to the functioning employees, which actually made it harder for us to function as a high-performing team. And so ultimately, we had to cut out the people as well as the bad processes and rebuild for what we actually needed. And that happened quite early on. And it was a key lesson in just knowing that the recruiting lever is the biggest lever in terms of talent as well as development. And that can really be something you figure out the first 3 to 6 months, honestly.
So there's a lot of interesting things about what you just mentioned that we could dig into if we had more time. But there's one particular area that I'm curious about. Mm-hmm. When you're a product and engineering led organization and you're thinking about your talent development strategy, mm-hmm. oftentimes in many IT organizations, your top performing engineers are put on the manager track. Is that what happened with your organization? And if it did or didn't, tell us about how you constructed your development and promotion strategy, given that you're a startup, and oftentimes in startups, your top performers move up the ranks into people leadership, and that's not necessarily the best model.
That's a great question. I think the larger tech companies, including some of my ex-employers, have really figured out by now, I think in the last decade, especially for technical talent, but you could arguably say this about every type of talent, that it's a very distinct track. You can be an extremely senior an experienced individual contributor and stay that way for life. And it is a very intentional decision for any individual to become a manager. And in our case, it's been something that my co-founder and CTO like took on as a challenge. It's a several year journey to really get great at it. And it took intentional development. And no matter the function that you're coming in, but especially for technical functions, it should be very clear that this is a whole new skill set that you need to learn and be prepared to do. I would say the easier part of it with technical talent versus other types of functions is that people may proactively opt out of management. It's not necessarily seen, especially if you are talking about it the right way internally, as the next step up, right? The next step up could be that you are getting technically more in-depth or working on a more challenging project or with more scope, as opposed to leading other engineers or IT talent.
That's a great point. One of the big things that I pick up from what you're describing is that if you're advising other leaders out there, it's near critical that those leaders need to communicate to their teams that it's not necessarily a requirement that you need to continue climbing the ladder. It's perfectly okay to be a top performing individual contributor because there can be technical paths that are created that gives you the growth that you want without having to move into people leadership. So I think that's really valuable advice.
You're still climbing a ladder, but it's your own journey, which is about increasing in technical capacity and scope as opposed to the next rung having to be management.
So I know there's a lot more that we can say about this, and it's a much deeper conversation. If people want to continue the conversation with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Please reach out via email, thomas@gocleary.com, GOCLEARY.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn, Thomas Kunjapu.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Thomas. When I think about this conversation, I think there's a lot of value in the short conversation that we had. I think the most valuable thing for me was your point that you mentioned early on, that it's critical for leaders to really understand where their weaknesses are and then hire with intentionality for the purpose of shoring up those weaknesses across the team. That's how you build a well-balanced team that performs at a high level. Because if you ignore the things that you're not good at, that's going to pop up at the most inconvenient time. So I think it's important when you're thinking about your talent strategy to keep that in mind. So appreciate you hanging out. For those of you who have listened to this conversation, we appreciate you listening. If you haven't already joined the HR Impact community, make sure you do that. You can find that at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we will have another leader sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build a high-performing team. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.